Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Straight up with no chaser. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan. Rochester.
All right, let's talk some hockey. Joe Yurden, the Maintenance Day podcast, our guest in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia. And Joe, I know you and Gino were talking off air, and I'm with you and I'm with Gino, and I think I'm with most hockey fans. Maybe I'm not really rooting for Tampa or Colorado. Maybe I'm just rooting for a close, competitive series that you know, with this new platform, it sure seems like the NHL stands to gain some audience here and to kind of like reshape its fan base for the future with the new Disney and TNT deal that we're seeing really play out here over the course of the postseason, with ratings being up and audience growing. How are you, Joe?
I'm good. This is listen, we got blessed with a really great series probably the two best teams you want to watch in the final. I mean, it would have been fun to have the Rangers, because, you know, it's Rangers. You know, more attention is good attention, but I mean, I don't know. You're talking a Cup dynasty on the line here for Tampa against the team that has been coming up short in the playoffs the last 2-3 years, and they finally get through, and now they have to beat the big boss. It's like a video game tour.
Yeah, so we go from a 7-0 shellacking on Saturday night to Kemper getting pulled last night. How big a concern is this actually for Colorado? Granted, they're still up 2-1. They still have the home ice. But, Joe, if it just comes down to goaltending, that has to be a concern.
Yeah. I mean, listen, Darcy Kemper's had a nice season. But we've seen, you know, it's weird. We've seen a lot of the stuff that has happened in this series already from both of these teams in their previous series. You know, we saw Kemper, you know, come up small in a few games there in the last round against Edmonton. And you're like, oh, boy, is he the guy? Can he handle this? And, you know, same thing for Tampa. You know, we saw the Rangers kind of lay into them early on in that series, and you're like, oh boy, I don't know. Is Tampa finally done? And then, you know, Vasilevsky turns it on, and then Tampa turns it on, and then off they go. You know, it's kind of the same thing again in the Toronto series. So this is, yeah, I mean, this is fascinating. I mean, you didn't really.
Nope. Oh. Looks like we just got disconnected from Joe, kind of unexpectedly there. We'll work to get him back on. In the meantime, I'll remind you that if you missed any part of today's show, you can look back and listen back here in the Odyssey app with Odyssey Rewind. Go back and listen to any part of the show that you may have missed for the next 24 hours, including Bob Harris of footballdiehards.com, who joined us last hour to break the seal and talk some fantasy football here in the sports bar. Also, that Bob Harris conversation available for you on demand right now. Wherever you get your shows, just search out the sports bar, and we will be there for you. All of our guest appearances listed for you right there. All right, we have Joe back on the line. And Joe, you were just in the middle of talking about Darcy Kemper and, you know, the concerns here for Colorado between the pipes.
Yeah, you know, I think we've seen this already, you know, from Kemper in the previous round against Edmonton. You know, there was some shaky starts, and you're like, oh, I don't know, maybe he's not the guy. But this is, you know, I don't think Colorado's concerned so much. I mean, you know, like I said, they've had experience with this, but, you know, this is kind of the same stuff we've seen from Tampa in the previous rounds too. You know, both against Toronto and the Rangers, you saw Vasilevsky kind of look human in the first game or two, and you're like, I don't know. Maybe this is it for the Lightning. And then, you know, game two, game three, they kind of roar back, and you're like, all right, that's why these guys have won the previous two cups. That's how this works. So this is really interesting, because both teams have been down this road already in the playoffs. Now it's You know, it's kind of like the, you know, the irresistible force and the, you know, the, I forget how the rest of that cliche goes, but like, this is how it goes. Like, this is, you know, this is kind of the way this has been for both these teams, the playoffs, but now it's just a case of, you know, which team's going to blink really.
Joe, who gets the start for Colorado in game four?
I think it's Kemper. I don't think you can go away from your starter in a cup final like that. You know, I think of playoff series or cup finals in the past where that's happened, where they say, oh, okay, well, we're going to go with the other guy. And you know, the one that sticks out to me was 1997. This is going way back. But 1997 was Philly and Detroit, and Philly flipped, you know, they went from Garth Snow to Ron Hextall, you know, back and forth in that final. And it was a four game sweep. I mean, that was kind of destiny that Detroit was going to win that one. But, you know, this is, you know, maybe Colorado's in that kind of form where this is their time. They're due to win this, but now the shoe's on their foot. They got to decide on the goaltending, but I don't think you can change goalies unless it's a very drastic, dire need. I don't think you can switch goalies. I mean, listen, Tampa wasn't going to switch off of Vasilevsky after a 7-0 butt whooping. Like, that was not going to be the case. Brian Elliott was not going to take Tampa to a win in game three. So I think you got to stick with who you got.
Joe Yurden, he is the host of the Maintenance Day podcast, our guest here in the Sports Bar. Joe, if Tampa does what many thought at the beginning, you know, when they're down 2-0, the unthinkable, they win it again this year, and that would be three straight. And we've had other teams in hockey history win three straight. We had the Islanders won four straight. Joe, I would make this take. Not only are they a dynasty, but considering all that goes into building a team and building a roster and how things get picked apart, this would be the best dynasty ever. Would you agree, or would you say I'm crazy on that?
Best ever? Oh boy, there's a lot of Montreal Canadiens teams back in the day that would have a lot to say about that have had countless numbers of Hall of Famers
in
on
a six team league, though, Joe.
Yeah, I know this. And listen, I can't say ever. I could say it's the most impressive one. Because you look at the circumstances they won the first two in. The first one came in that bubble weirdness, you know, the isolation playoffs, you know, in Florida. You know, the one last year came with minimal crowds, you know, in the arenas. So that was a weird way to go about it. And then the weird division setups, you know, somehow Montreal bullies their way through the rest of Canada to get into the final where, you know, you couldn't have asked for a weaker team to make it to the cup final. But you know, this year you get a normal playoffs and, you know, Tampa still finds their way through. And if they win, it's extremely impressive. But best ever dynasty? No, I can't go that far. Like that's maybe a step too far for me. Now, yeah, you can make the argument. Absolutely. But I can't really say it. It's the most impressive of this era. That's for absolutely sure. I mean, you know, Pittsburgh's tried to make that case, you know, since the...
Is it more impressive than the Islanders? The Islanders four straight, and you had, what, 21 teams back then? They just merged, so...
Yeah. I don't know, man. Like, that's the thing. Like, winning four in a row is crazy. Winning three in a row is wild because it hasn't happened since then. Is it better than the Isles? I don't know. I gotta really think on this one and do some comparisons and whatever and just kind of break it down a little more.
Yeah, that's what Gene's here for. Joe, he's here to give you future content for Maintenance Day podcast down the road. And you know, the off season is right around the corner. You need
somebody to come on and guess this is where danger hates
God,
me for saying
this. Here we go.
No.
Yeah. You can invite Gene on to be a guest on the Maintenance Day podcast.
I don't think that'll be happening.
Yeah, but you know, you're gonna need those angles when you get into the off season here. We're talking with Joe Yurden of the Maintenance Day podcast. And one of the things that I know you and Lance were talking about on this week's pod, and I think it's a great topic to discuss when you're talking about the Sabres. Look, a lot of young players, and a lot of contracts that you're going to have to deal with at some point here. We also know this is a team that's, you know, going to have to spend just to get to the floor this offseason. We saw them do some of that with the Ben Bishop acquisition, just to take on that money, that contract. Tell us a little bit, give us a little bit of a preview of what you and Lance were talking about on this latest episode of the Maintenance Day podcast, where you were both saying that it's a little too soon to know exactly how the Sabres are going to handle those contracts.
Yeah, it's, well, that's the thing. It's a little too soon, but, you know, we've seen how this has worked in the past. Now, granted, this came under different GMs. You know, this came under Jason Bottrell and Tim Murray and whatnot. But in the past, we've seen these young, you know, budding stars. You know, which, you know, hey, listen, Jack Eichel and Sam Reinhart are stars. You know, I know people have disavowed any knowledge of them now and in the area, but, like, you know, they came right up on and played to the end of the ELC. Then their entry level deal, then it was okay, you know, what do we do for the next contract? And it was waited until, you know, that summer where it was like, okay, well, we've gone to the end of that. All right, what do we do next? For Lance and I think our discussion centered around not getting to that point with some of these guys, because you're looking at what is it? I think it's after the 23-24 season, Owen Power's ELC will come up. Rasmus Dahlin's current contract ends. There's two other guys where Joakim Harju's contract is up, and one other player. I'm losing it off the top of my head, but, like, you want to get these deals done now. You know, you're talking, and even next year, you know, Tage Thompson. You know, this is a big year for him because it's not necessarily a prove it year, but you got to show that the 38 goal season wasn't necessarily a, you know, flash in the pan. So, you know, but, like, you know, for Kevin Adams and them, they got to decide whether or not getting some of these deals done in advance, you know, maybe a year out, is the way to take care of business and a way to make sure that, you know, maybe the price doesn't run up on you and you end up paying a lot more for a guy that you're thinking, you know, maybe we could have got this done at a lower rate the previous year. You know, I think that's certainly the case with Thompson. I mean, that's a gamble, but you got to think, you know, if this guy's going to be a 40-goal guy every year, boy, maybe we should take a risk and say, okay, we're going to sign you to this much now. We're banking that you're going to be able to do this going ahead. Now, if you're Tage, do you do it thinking, like, well, if I score 50 next year, then I want to have a lot more money. But can you bank on that yourself? Like, that's a huge bet to put on yourself. I mean, that's Aaron Judge-like, where, you know, you're saying, like, nah, I'm not going to sign that monster deal. I think I can do better. I can perform better to get more money out of it. Like, that's the thing on the player side. But if I'm the Sabres, I want to get some of these contracts done before, you know, I want to get that done as soon as I'm able to get those contracts done, to get those extensions done, because taking that too far into the future, man, like, that's, you could be running into a lot of big money deals all happening in the same summer. I don't think that's the position they want to be in.
Joe Yerden is the host of the Maintenance Day podcast, our guest here in the Sports Bar. So, Joe, pretend like Danger and I know nothing about the NHL draft, because truthfully, we don't. It's not like the NFL draft where we have kind of a baseline where we see a lot of these players in college. We're not watching junior hockey. We're not watching hockey overseas. This is a year where the Sabres have three first-round picks. How does Kevin Adams go about the draft coming up on July 8th?
You know, the world's his oyster on this one. If I'm a GM, this is a great thing to have, because you've got picks where you can get guys to get for the future, but you've also got picks where if you need to get somebody now, you could maybe use one of those picks to get something now. You know, and you know, I'm looking right at the goaltending position for Buffalo right now and thinking, like, well, man, maybe one of those picks, maybe the 28th pick, is something I can use to get a goalie that's going to be able to start, you know, right away, maybe start for a couple of seasons while things get figured out in net, whether, you know, you find out whether or not Luukkonen's your guy, or you find out, you know, if Devin Levi and Eric Portillo sign and you've got them coming on. So, because you need a goalie, you need two goalies. Sabres need two goalies, maybe, to get this season going. But, you know, when you're picking ninth, you're picking, you know, 16th, 16 and 28, I think it is. You're going to get good players, and you're going to get guys that you don't have to stress out on having them come right away. because that's, you know, it's unnecessary to have, you know, unless a guy just blows you away in camp, even then I'd say, go back for one more year. We'll bring you in after the season. We'll go from there. But you can get three really good players. This draft is deep. This is a deep draft. And you can get they're going to be able to get two very good players right away at 9 and 16. They're going to get somebody really good at 29 or 28 as well. So, you know, whether they go forward, defense, goaltending, I want to believe that they're going to get a forward. They're going to get a defenseman at least. I don't know. It's a toss up. I think in my mind, they're going to move one of those picks to get something for now. But two of those, I think you get a forward and a defenseman and you run away happy.
Joe, I wanted to get your take, and I know we talk about goaltending every time we have you on, and you don't have the answers, and so much of what we think might happen this season is going to be determined when these guys finally get into training camp here as we get closer to October. But I think we saw what we saw out of UPL in Rochester. I think Buffalo fans saw what they saw out of UPL with the Sabres, and certainly it may be that Kevin Adams believes that UPL is, quote-unquote, done his time here in Rochester, and that he's done the development that they've asked him to do, and he will indeed be with the club and be their starter night one. We don't know who else is there. I mean, from what you saw, what you knew of UPL's performance this last year between the Sabres and between the Amerks, is he ready to take on a bigger role? Is he ready to start with the Sabres day one next year?
I want to believe that he is. It was a small sample size last season, what we saw from him in the NHL, but it was very good. And any time that we've seen him in the NHL level, he's been very good. I know last year was such a wild season for him in Rochester. You know, there were some games where it was like, he's really hurt. He's struggling. But then there's other games where, you know, maybe he gives up five, but he's the best player on the ice. And, you know, they come away with a 6-5 win. You know, that's kind of how the season was for Rochester. You know, there was so many games where the defensive end of things wasn't going very well, but the offense and UPL's ability to hang in there and make big saves in key moments really kept it going for him. And it's a little Grant Fuhr-esque, you know, going back to talk about dynasties, the 80s Oilers. You know, that was something Fuhr was very good at being, was just making the big saves when he needed to. But I believe that he can be a backup in the NHL next season. It's just a question of whether or not the Sabres are comfortable with having him play, you know, as few as, you know, 35, 40 games, you know, 35, 30 games maybe in the season, because they want him to play games. That's the biggest thing that he's needed this whole time along, is just to get games. But it's, you know, whether or not they want to have him in that spot right away, I don't know. Like that's the thing. I don't have it really pegged yet for what Buffalo wants to do with him, because he needs, like I said, he needs the games. He's not necessarily going to get the games if he's not the number one in Buffalo, which I don't think he's going to be right now. But I mean, hey, listen, if things get weird with free agency or trades or whatever with goaltending, I mean, maybe they're going to be in a position where he's the 1B to somebody else who comes in and is the 1A.
With those three first-round picks, some of them you won't get next year. Maybe all three enter the Sabres organization. Who knows? We almost forget that the Sabres had a first-round pick last year that didn't enter the organization. What can you tell us about Isaac Rose in last year's 14th-round pick? Should we expect to see him in Rochester to start out next year, Joe?
I would believe that he's going to be in Rochester. He had what happened with him in Sweden last year was, it was tough because he wasn't getting a ton of ice time. You know, he was playing in the SHL and maybe, you know, he was getting time on the power play and not much else really. I mean, he was getting maybe, you know, anywhere from, you know, 6 to 10 minutes a game, which when you're 18, I mean, geez, you need minutes. You got to play games. And the situation he was in at Lexans was not ideal for really growing into more, you know, to becoming a better player, becoming, you know, getting those reps and getting those minutes. He didn't really get as much of that as you'd like to see. I mean, certainly for somebody at that age, you can't treat a kid like that as like a fourth liner and just say, get him on the power play and we'll go from there. You can't do that with him. But I want to believe that things are going to be opened up a bit more on the Rochester level. That guys like Rosin and some of these other ones, Kisikov, you know, all these other guys that they've signed and they're brought in, they're going to have time. They're going to have a lot. They're going to get a lot of time, a lot of opportunity to really grow into it. Rosin's a quick player. He's a little bit on the smaller side, but he's fast and he can score. He's very talented. He can get around on the ice. So I think he's going to be an exciting player once he gets acclimated to everything on this side and playing against guys in the AHL. I think that's going to be a big change for him. But patience, I think, is going to be needed just because, you know, the workload wasn't huge for him this past season. You will be able to watch him in the World Junior Championships that's coming up in August, I believe. He's on the preliminary Sweden roster, which, you know, they didn't do it in December and January. They're doing it in August this year to make up for everything getting blown out of the water by COVID. So it'll be very interesting to see how he plays in that because, I mean, honestly, that's going to be a huge audition and a chance for everybody here to be able to see what he could do.
Joe, fantastic insight as always. Love talking hockey with you. We'll be listening for you and Lance on the Maintenance Day podcast. Hope you enjoy the rest of your day, bud.
Well, real quick, we were talking the 30 for 30 pot coming up. Red Wings Avalanche.
Oh, looks awesome.
I didn't know this. Joe grew up a Wings fan.
Come on, grew up a Wings fan, hating the Avs. Then, no doubt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I grew up just south of Glens Falls, so the Adirondack Red Wings. Chris Osgood,
sure,
and Slava Kozlov. Those guys played a bunch up in Glens Falls, so I got hooked on them there. So, yeah, I've had to keep my fandom buried for a while trying to be an objective reporter and whatnot.
Yeah.
Watching that 2.5 minute, you know, sizzle reel trailer for that, it all came flooding back. I was not prepared to be sitting there going, you know, swearing at the TV scene, called him his face. Yeah. I was not ready. Yeah. I was not ready for any of that. So I'm fired up to watch.
Same. Great stuff, Joe. Look forward to talking to you again soon, bud.
Hey, you got it, guys. Thanks for having me.
You got it, Joe. There he is, Joe Yurden. You can hear he and Lance on the Maintenance Day podcast, wherever you get your shows. We got to come back with news and notes from around the NFL. It's time for NFL appetizers in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia.
Yeah, so we had some big news in regards to the Deshaun Watson, the civil suits against Watson. A lot of them getting settled today. What does this mean? So we got some Browns notes. We have Gronk retiring, and Fitzmagic makes it official.
It's Mike Danger for FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 95.7 The Fan. Go yard all June long with $5 Dinger Tuesdays on FanDuel Sportsbook. This season, all customers will get $5 for every home run hit by both teams when you place a $25 to hit a home run wager on Tuesday Major League Baseball games. The best part about Dinger Tuesdays is even if your bet loses, FanDuel will pay you $5 for every home run. Gino, I'm going to do something I swear I never thought I would do, but it just makes sense. It feels right tonight. I am going to select St. Louis Cardinal Nolan Arenado to go yard. I'm picking him up, and the mouth breathers rejoice. One of your guys going yard against the Brewers.
A fill-in pitcher, Chi-Chi Gonzalez.
Oh, Chi-Chi Gonzalez is on the mound. That's perfect. All right, so what are you waiting for? Pick your home run hitter, turn big swings into big wins. No better place to bet America's pastime than on America's number one sportsbook. Head over to your FanDuel account or download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up using promo code Mike, M-I-K-E. That is promo code Mike on FanDuel Sportsbook. 21 plus and physically present in New York. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max bonus, $25. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369.
Odyssey has sports for every fan. Keep up with your favorite teams from across the country and get the inside scoop from experts. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Odyssey.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth.
So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.